Hi friends, it's Paula, and if you know me, you know that I have a heart for empowering people to live the life that they were meant for. So I invite you to join me and my friends each week as we dive into really honest conversations about life, struggles, triumphs, and everything in between. I hope that these stories equip you in what you're called to do and who you're called to be. So come on in to the Paula Ferris Faith and Calling Podcast. I had so much fun with my husband last week, and there were so many follow-up questions from you all. So that's why we decided to do the Ask Me Anything segment on Instagram, which we loved. So this week, I want you to focus on one thing. I want you to really try and follow your gut. It's something that today's guest did, and it changed the trajectory of her life.
I remember finding an article about, like, Oprah has an English degree, and all of these very, you know, successful people had English degrees. And I was like, look, Barbara Walters has an English degree. And my parents were like, okay. And I just went for it. And it was the first, I would say it was probably the first time in my life I really trusted my gut beyond what everybody else was telling me I was supposed to be doing.
I'm talking to Emily Lay, the founder of Simplified. It's a popular brand of organizational tools and planners. You may have seen those planners in big retailers like Target. I don't know, you may have heard of them, but she's a mom of three. Emily founded her company out of a guest room in her home back in 2008. She says she had no idea what she was doing at the time, but she knew her why.
I think when you have your heart set on a lifestyle and not necessarily a finish line or a dollar amount, you just feel like you're winning all the time. I mean, you know, even when, oh Lord, I've made some huge mistakes. And even when those hard times happen, if you're looking around and thinking, you know, am I living the life I wanted to live?
15 years later, Emily Lay's brand is reaching incredible new heights. And she has a beautiful new devotional out called Sure as the Sunrise, 100 Morning Meditations on God's Mercy and Delight. She wants to give away a couple of copies to my community via my personal newsletter. So make sure you've signed up for that, paulaferrisofficial.com. Facts, fun, giveaways, and my favorites. I deploy it every 2 weeks. Again, paulaferrisofficial.com. You can sign up for my personal newsletter, and we're giving away a couple copies of Emily's new devotional. Okay, without further ado, pull up a chair, lace up your running shoes. Here's Emily Lay, talking about following your gut, patience when building something, and the importance of routine. This is Speed Dating. Emily, I'm Paula.
It's so nice to meet you. I'm Emily. It really is like speed dating, but you're thrown into like the water with the sharks and you have to figure out how to swim together.
Oh, but it's so great to meet you. And can I just say a little icebreaker? I am a huge fan of paper planners.
Oh my gosh.
Don't be offended. Don't be offended. This isn't your brand. I just went back to a paper planner last year and it has revolutionized my life. That is not an exaggeration.
There's something about the press of the pen to the paper. It just hits differently.
It does. Although now I have to write it on my paper planner and then put it in my phone and then send my husband the invitation and then put it on our monthly planner on the wall. So it's like a three-step process, but it helps in a family of chaos.
I know what you mean. And you have three, right?
I have three. Yes, I have a daughter and two boys. And I have a Caroline. You have a Caroline.
Yes, for sure. I have a daughter and two boys. That's
right. Isn't that fun? So, yes. How are your boys? Just be honest. Are they great? But are they savages? Yes or no?
They're savages. Okay. And they're the two of them. I'm like, Jesus, please just let them be close when they're older. Because right now they're either the best of friends or they are brawling.
Yeah.
Brawling.
Mortal enemies. Right.
Mortal enemies. Mm-hmm. My oldest is 11. My twins are 7, a boy and a girl. And Tyler and Brady, man, they're two awesome, very different kids, but brothers.
Mm-hmm. 4 years apart.
I tell Brian every day, like, if we can just get these two to get along, we will be golden.
It's sibling rivalry. I came from a big family. My brother and I and my siblings, we all used to fight like cats and dogs, and it would get physical sometimes. And now we're super close.
What Brian has two brothers. And he's like, this is just what brothers do when they're at this age.
I'm so grateful to meet you. I've seen your stuff in Target and Home Depot, Staples, like you name it. It's pretty much everywhere.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to think, Emily, about how far you've come in the last 14, 15 years. We talk a lot about calling, what we're called to do, who we're called to be, but following that gut in our spirit about what we're called to do, right? And I loved reading in your story, you went to school for teaching because your mother was a teacher. So you're like, I'm going to follow in her footsteps. But then you made
a hot minute.
Yeah, for a hot second there. But you made a pivot and you went with your gut. You studied English.
Yeah.
What did that gut instinct feel like? How did you know that, okay, teaching's not for me. I really think I'm being drawn to the English arena.
I remember being in college and feeling like I was having to decide the rest of my life because as a woman, mm-hmm. you know, we go to college and we think I have these huge career aspirations. And also for me, I wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And those two things didn't really jive.
No.
Like the big career ideas I had, it was kind of like, well, what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? What time do I leave? What time do I get home? How many hours am I putting in? I literally couldn't figure out. And I remember thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. I am just going to choose the thing that lights me up.
Right. That's
good.
And
my parents were like, what are you going to do with this?
What are you going to do with an English degree?
I remember finding an article about like, Oprah has an English degree and all of these very, you know, successful people had English degrees. And I was like, look, Barbara Walters has an English degree. And my parents were like, okay. And I just went for it. And it was the first, I would say it was probably the first time in my life I really trusted my gut beyond mm-hmm. what everybody else was telling me I was supposed to be doing.
That's so good.
And mm-hmm. yeah. I'm glad I did it. To this day, I love literature. I love, like, one of my favorite pastimes is diagramming sentences. It's quite strange.
Oh, that's very strange. But yeah. It to each his own, right?
For sure.
So you trusted your gut. So you pursue English. And then, like, how do you end up starting Simplified in 2008, which is all about organization? And when you started, it wasn't Simplified. It's a little different than what it is now.
Yeah. So in 2008, I had moved to Tampa. My husband and I got married and I moved down there. I never thought I would leave my hometown.
Where's your hometown, by the way?
Pensacola. It's where we are now.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So Brian was in Tampa. He had a really successful career. And we decided, you know what? That's where we're going to get started. And one day when we have kids, we'll move back. So I moved down there and got a great job working at the University of South Florida. And I was so miserable. I was lonely. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was newlywed, so I was trying to figure that out. And the job was one of those, like, sit in your seat and don't move kind of a job. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, let me out. Mm-hmm. I was working for a women in leadership and philanthropy program. And I just saw all these women who were just doing amazing things, working with these amazing causes, making a difference in the community, doing jobs that they were like excited to get up and do in the morning, which is like, I didn't know what that felt like. And so I remember telling Brian when we got married, I wanted to have Crane Stationery. And if you know anything about paper, that is like the end all be all.
Okay.
But we couldn't afford it. And so I ended up kind of DIYing our wedding invitations and stationery and bridesmaids gifts and all that with paper. So I told him, hey, eventually I want to be able to be a mom who has flexibility and is still able to contribute to our family.
Preach.
So I'm going to just start a little side thing and mm-hmm. like make paper stuff. There's this new thing called Etsy and I'm going to put all that on there.
Paper stuff.
Make paper stuff. And that's what I did. And I am such a hustler. Like, I will not be outworked. It's problematic at times, but I just went for it. And I kind of built my own website. Mm-hmm. I watched all these YouTube videos to figure out how to use a printer. And by the power of what was very easy and free social media back then, mm-hmm. I was able to develop a little bit of a following behind what I was doing. Because starting your own business back in 2008 was like, nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it grew and grew, and I had to work the full-time job while I got that off the ground. But eventually we started to see that, hey, this could actually be a career.
Right. It can be. Yeah. It's not just going to be cutting paper at the house,
it's not
right?
just going to be me with my paper cutter in the guest room. Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
which is wild
amazing.
To think back on. And so I kept going with it and eventually left the full-time job. We had our first son in 2011. And at the time I was doing stationery, graphic design, brand design, anything I could get my hands on. But I found myself as a completely overwhelmed new mom. And
yes.
I had this business that I loved with my whole heart. And I had this baby mm-hmm. that I loved with my whole heart. And it seemed really impossible to do both. So as one does, I went to the aisles of Target to find the solution to life, right? That's what we do.
Every solution to life can be found in some aisle at Target.
This is for sure. So there I am with my little baby in the buggy in my Starbucks, and I'm walking through the aisles, and I'm looking at all the paper stuff because that's what I do. And all these planners were like, I don't know, they just had so many like boxes to check and things to fill out. And how much water did you drink? And what did you do with your budget? And I was like, this is making me feel like more of a failure. So I went home and just for myself started making my own little planner pages to help me track what I had to get done in the day and where I had to be. That was it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and what we were going to have for dinner, because people, you know, like to be fed. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? This is so simple. And that's what's missing. Why does everything have to be so complicated? What women like me, what we want is something that's going to give us a fresh start, like really, and let us get control over our time so we can give, you know, the majority of it back to what really matters. And so the Simplified Planner was born, and the brand just, man, it took off fast and furious, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
You look back at those early days, your husband, Brian, was very business-minded. You're the creative one, right? You start this as stationary gifts and organization and paper, right, in the guest room in 2008. Yeah. You look back at those days, though, Emily, do you have any idea what you're doing at that point?
No, literally none. I remember being so, like, hungry for it. Like, I would stay up so late and I would burn the candle at both ends and work. And I would Google things and, like, watch YouTube videos about how to do this, how to do that. And I would just work. And when that wasn't good enough, I'd scrap it all and start over. And the early days of building a business, it was so crazy, but it was so fun. Like, I do look back at those times and remember how hard it was, but I also feel really fondly about it because it was like, oh, well, I'm going to show the world what I'm made of.
You know? You look back and self-admittedly, you're like, we didn't know what we were doing. So how did you know where to start? What were your first steps? Because we can feel called to something like, I think I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know where to start. And then we become paralyzed by the analysis. We overanalyze, and then we end up not moving to begin with. So how'd you know where to start?
I knew that I wanted the business to be based online. I wanted to make sure I protected my time and flexibility because that was the whole reason to start in the first place.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be available for my child and future children. And to this day, like I gut check right there. Do you have the flexibility to be the mom you want to be? And if
good
you don't,
you.
Something's out of whack.
Good for you.
So, you know, I knew that I was going to start with that kind of foundational value and then build on from there. So the whole time it was like, how can we work smarter, not harder? Mm-hmm, how can we create something that's got a little bit of automation to it? And also that's not just a product. I always say the day I just own a planner company is the day I don't want to do this anymore because it's too much work. But back then it was, you know, and now I wanted the company to have a mission beyond just making stuff. And so I would say I started there and I just asked a lot of questions and started following people who knew what they were doing and became friends with a lot of creatives who were kind of starting their own thing. And that community aspect was really important also.
Yep. The gut check saying, here's my boundaries. Like you're setting the boundaries. Okay. Yeah. The whole reason I'm doing this that I decided to, you know, work from home and pursue this is because you want to find that elusive balance as a working mom. One thing I really want to highlight, though, is this slow, steady growth. You started in 2008. Now we're, you know, almost in 2023, but it's been 15 years. It wasn't until 2012, I think, 4 years later that you hire your first employee. So how important is it to keep that mindset, that slow growth, strong roots? I keep saying, you know, I formed Carry Media earlier this year. We're all about advocating for working moms. Being a working mom should work. I don't think you should have to choose between kids and a career. And I think we should be valued for what we intrinsically bring to the table. We should be celebrated, not scrutinized. But this slow, steady growth, I have to remind myself, we're going to be a 3-year overnight success or a 10-year overnight success. So how did you keep that mindset? How did you stay positive throughout the growth?
I think when you have your heart set on a lifestyle and not necessarily a finish line or a dollar amount, you just feel like you're winning all the time. I mean, you know, even when, oh Lord, I've made some huge mistakes. And even when those hard times happen, you know, if you're looking around and thinking, you know, am I living the life I wanted to live?
So good.
You know, I have the flexibility to be the one that picks the kids up in the afternoon. I have that thing that I wanted, no matter what the dollar amount looks like or the, you know, achievements or success or accolades. If I'm living that lifestyle, we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
When I was able to quit my full-time job, I remember being like, this is it. Like, whatever happens from here is going to be awesome once I started replacing that salary. So, I would say knowing what the good life looks like to you and defining that, it helps you recognize it when you're in it, you know?
That's so good. That's one aspect I really admire about your story is that you grew this business as you were growing your family. You've never sacrificed your family in the process. You've stayed true to what you want your life to look like. You've stayed true to those boundaries, which are so important. But that's really hard to do as a woman to grow your career as you're growing your family, because we get to a point where like kids are career. I got to choose one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, first of all, it's so sweet of you to say that. And I often wonder, like, does it look like that from the outside? Because I'm so bad about it. I really do, because I'm such a worker and a hustler, and I love to work. I also love work because I can control it really well. Kids don't really work like that. And you know, I reach points every couple months, really, where I have to be like, okay, Emily, rein it in. Stop adding stuff to your plate. Stop saying yes to everything. You know, I get on this adrenaline high where I'm like, gosh, I love being busy. I love all these things that are happening. And then one day I hit a wall and I'm curled in the ball on the floor crying. So it's definitely a journey, not, you know, a finish line. Balance is something that I don't know if we ever get there, but we keep trying.
I don't think it's really an attainable word, you know, really, like work-life balance. I just think one of my friends, she also is an entrepreneur. She said, Paula, I measure myself in like 3 to 6 day increments. So I don't judge myself at the end of a day because I may have, you know, failed as a mother or I may have failed as an employee. I just try to look at like a 3 to 6 day period. And how did I do in that period, right?
I love that.
I thought that was really good because every day we're going to screw it up. But if somehow everything can kind of balance out at the end of that 6 day period, I think, you know, you've got to give yourself grace as a mom,
but
from the outside looking in, I mean, you look like cool, calm, collected. Nothing gets under your skin. You are super chill. You're super organized.
Thank you.
I cried
yesterday.
And don't take this the wrong way, but that makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. That's why I say it. I did. I cried yesterday because I need to take some time off. I'm just like everybody else, but I often say that balance is like riding a bike. So, you know, you're riding a bike and you're never really fully balanced because if you stop, you're going to fall over. And it's constantly shifting your weight from left to right and left to right. And sometimes that looks like years or months. Sometimes it looks like minutes, you know, it's seasons. And if left is work and right is family, and we keep shifting our weight from left to right to keep from face planting, we're doing okay.
Right.
So that just means sometimes we're leaning hard this way. And then the next, you know, season, we need to lean a little hard the other way.
And sometimes we need a new bike.
Sometimes we need a nap. But what do you know?
So you look back at this empire that you have created that is now simplified, right? Which is all about inspiring, empowering women to simplify their lives, right? To take a load off. Your products are in Target, Office Depot, Staples. Can you believe like that you've created this? When you go back and you look at those photos of you and Brian in the guest room, you know, looking at spreadsheets and trying to figure all this out, like, can you believe it, Emily?
No, I can't. It's bizarre. If you would have asked me 15 years ago what I thought 2022 or 23 would look like, I mean, no, not at all. But I have to also say, it's cool to look back over the last, you know, 15 years and see the point where I was able to bring on more talent. So someone who's smarter than me and, you know, more creative than me at different things and see what they brought to Simplified. And then, you know, we kept bringing in more people. And now we have a team of 9 women who all work remote and they are, I mean, they're absolute rock stars. And each one of them has such a hand in what Simplified has become and really where it's going too.
So you've created this life that you love, right? Yes, you have your meltdowns. Yes, you cry. But you want to help other women do the same. And you say the key for you is morning routine. You've written several best-selling books. You have your first devotional out, which is called Sure as the Sunrise, 100 Morning Meditations on God's Mercy and Delight. And you say the key, right, to create the life that we love, you say in this devotional, is to create morning routine. So what's so important about a morning routine?
There's a quote, I forget who said it, but it's the way that you start your day determines your day. So if you start your day frazzled and hectic and trying to find the kids' shoes and packed lunchboxes and, you know, what do I wear today? That's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of get off on a stressed out, frazzled foot. If we're starting our day by preparing the night before, you know, with some grace and flexibility, putting together some sort of rhythm that helps you just center and ground yourself and start with a clear mind and a strong foothold, that's a really beautiful way to start a day. Mm-hmm. And so I've spent so many years thinking of women sitting down with their Simplified Planner and mapping out their days and figuring out their task list and starting from a really organized place. I wanted to create a partner to that, a book that was full of encouraging stories and inspiration and really just some tools to help equip them to go about their day with strength and with confidence too.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah. I like that it's a partner to the planner. It's like the full package. What are the five ways that you write that we can start our mornings right?
So I think it's really important, first and foremost, to actually take some time to think through what you want your morning to look like, your ideal morning. And, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, things are going to happen and your morning is going to come unraveled sometimes. But if you had it your way, what would your ideal morning look like? What time would you wake up? Would your clothes be ready? Would the coffee pot be set to auto brew? You know, would the house be picked up? If you put that kind of intention into what you want something to look like, it helps you actually think through it and get it set up. So that's number one. Number two, starting the night before. Jen Hatmaker always says, do something that tomorrow you will be grateful for. Mm-hmm. So do stuff for tomorrow you. Pack the lunchboxes, get the stuff in order. And then I think, you know, number three, getting up before other people in your house is a game changer. Mm. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. Like I love sleep more than anybody. I could sleep 12 hours every night and be totally fine. but getting up before everybody else, even if it's like 10 minutes, it just gives you a moment to breathe and get ready. Number four, I think sitting down and having just a minute of quiet where you are able to check in with your heart and, you know, how are we feeling today? What lies ahead? What anxieties are we carrying? What worries are we carrying? And then number five, I think just beginning with gratitude and identifying some of those ordinary delights. You know, in the beginning of the book, we say there is magic in the ordinary if we dare enough to see it and create it. And so if we look around at our everyday ordinary lives and identify those little bitty pieces of grace and delight that God's planted there, what a beautiful way to get started.
I will say, like, it's hard during the fall because it's so dark in the mornings.
So dark.
Get up.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, I just want to sleep till tomorrow, right?
Same.
Like, and when I get up 45 minutes to an hour earlier than my kids, you're right, it is a game changer. And it sets the tone for my entire day. I think I'm a little anal retentive, but I started making their lunch as much as possible the night before. I get my coffee ready so that it just starts brewing at 6 a.m. I lay out everybody's pills. I even took it so far, you'll laugh probably, I would get the cereal bowls out and their cup and the spoon and the cereal. Just the only thing that's missing is the milk. I'm like, we are going to make this morning as turnkey as possible.
We're the same.
And it's not, but it's not that it takes me about 10 minutes to do all of that, right? In the morning, if I do it, I'm like so disorganized and so chaotic.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
And you're trying to do 12 things at once with someone who can't find their shoes.
No. And I'm like, why did I just put my keys in the fridge? Oh, because, you know, we're juggling all of this in the morning.
Okay. I have to tell you my best life hack in the morning. Okay.
Yes.
My mom told me this, and she's actually been telling me this for years, and I don't know why I didn't listen to her until recently. You, like on a Sunday, you get a 24-pack of Hawaiian rolls, okay? And you slice them this way, you know, like slice them in half. And then you take some ham, you lay it out, you take some cheese, and you lay it out, and you slice them up into the individual sandwiches. You pack them two at a time, and you put them in the freezer. And then if you take them out at like 7, by 11:30, 12 o'clock, they are thawed and chilled, and your kids will think you are a superhero. And in the morning, you just get it out of the freezer. That's it. I tested this on myself. I tested it. And I asked my kids, and they're like, this is the best lunch ever. They love it.
You're like, I put so much time and energy into this. You better appreciate it.
You need to appreciate this.
That's a great idea.
It saves my life.
So you write that one of the reasons that you wrote these morning meditations is you were stuck in a bad morning routine, and you say that you started to feel like God had forgotten you and distanced himself from you, and you wanted a new start, right?
Oh my gosh, this is such a, this story is like so close to my heart. It was during the pandemic when we were all trying to work, you know, from home. And then we had children that we were trying to virtual school, which was a whole thing, as we all know. Doing two kindergartners on virtual school was a nightmare. And then, of course, we're terrified. You know, we don't know what's going on, what's changing. I haven't seen my parents. We're scared. And I remember waking up every morning and I was like, this is like Groundhog's Day. I'm waking up. We got to do it all over again. And then we go to bed and then we do it. And it was just like monotonous. And I remember thinking like, God, where are you in all of this? Like, have you forgotten about all of us? Have you forgotten about me? And we live on Pensacola Bay. And every morning I would get up at the same time and walk outside my bedroom door into our living room. And right outside the door is the sunrise. And I would see the sun come up every morning. And I started to notice, look at that. The sun comes up every single morning. God brings the sun up every single morning, the same way he did on the very first day. And with the same enthusiasm as he did back then, he never forgets. He never forgets to bring the sun up. And it just became this like, this funny reassurance every morning of like, he's still here. He hasn't forgotten. He's still bringing the sun up. And when I came across the verse in Lamentations, you know, about sure as the sunrise, God's mercies are new every morning. I was like, of course, of course, this has to be the name of the book, because he is sure as the sunrise.
I love it. Sure as the sunrise, 100 morning meditations on God's mercy and delight. You titled day one of the book of the devotional, It's a New Day. And it's easy for days to blur together and get stuck in a cycle of unhappiness. So what is your best encouragement for someone that's listening to this right now, Emily, and they need a fresh start? How could you encourage them?
Well, first of all, I've been there, and recently even, where you just feel stuck and you're not really sure where to turn or where to begin. And what you really want is like a big overhaul, right? You want that big transformation of like, I was feeling, you know, sad and tired, and I want to go from that to lots of energy and everything's okay again. It doesn't always work like that. It's not always that big transformation. And a lot of times we have to do one little thing just to change the course, right? And so whether that's going to bed 30 minutes early or picking up a book that encourages you or going for a walk for 10 minutes outside, choose something small that you can do today just to get the ball rolling. And I promise you, you'll feel better. And that will turn into two things and three things. And slowly the tide will start to shift.
So encouraging. I love listening to your voice, by the way. I love listening to your podcast. And I'm just so happy for all the success and the way that you've never sacrificed your family to pursue this. And I think it's just such a beautiful illustration. Can I ask you what Enneagram you are? I think you're a 3.
Oh, okay. So I also think I'm a 3, but the thing says I'm a 2, but I think I'm a 3.
Well, you could.
I'm a 2 with a 3 wing.
You're a 2 wing. People that don't know the Enneagram, they're like, what are they talking about?
What are you talking about?
It's a personality test. So, yes, but it tells a lot about people. Oh, this has been such a pleasure to get to know you. And
yes,
so,
it has been.
So happy to connect with you. I'm pulling for you. Can't
you
wait
too.
For this new devotional, okay?
Thank you so much.
I'm off to try the Hawaiian rolls.
Oh, good luck. Bye.
Bye, Evelicia. That new devotional is beautiful. Again, it's called Sure as the Sunrise, 100 Morning Meditations on God's Mercy and Delight. She also has a fabulous podcast called Simplified. I encourage you all to support that as well. But you heard it from Emily. You don't have to have a big team, a big budget to just go for it, to go with your gut. It took 4 years for her to hire one person. Again, I respect the heck out of her because she did it all without sacrificing her family. She says she didn't always know her what, but she knew her why. And her why was her starting place. So what is your why? She knew why she was doing it, for flexibility, for the flexibility to be the mother that she wanted to be. And that's her constant gut check. Her heart was set on a lifestyle, not a dollar amount. Just hearing that from her gives me chills. I think it's a good time for all of us to evaluate our why. Why are we doing what we are doing? Tell me all about everything on my Instagram page. Go to @PaulaFerris. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. So next week, he might be the only actor/comedian/youth pastor. Yes, I said youth pastor, that you're going to come across. How his big mistakes led him to helping youth, and that one audition that he had with Tina Fey. I'm Paula Ferris. It's an honor to be on this journey with you, and I will see you next week.